Luke 12, verse 35.
Still on Luke, are we?
Don't start. We're studying this idea of loins, and let your loins be girded about. And the whole mystery of loins, it's about the regenerative area. And so if you're going to reproduce a spiritual being, you have to reproduce it with truth. That's what this says. It's girded about with truth. And so the only possibility of doing that is that there's no, you're not pleasing men in any way in terms of reproduction. So your loins are girded about with that which stands the test of truth. Doesn't change with time, place, or circumstance. So is that enough about girded about with truth?
Quick question.
Huh?
Quick question.
All right.
What do you mean by pleasing men by terms of reproduction?
Reproducing another spiritual being. That you cause them to be born again by the preaching of the cross. You don't cause them to think they're born again by telling them all the goodies God is going to do for you. Amen?
And this isn't really talking about us like girding our loins to do whatever it is that comes into our heads and we want to do.
No.
Particular.
It's particularly, that's why it's your loins that are girded about, because that's the metaphor for the reproductive activity.
So what happens if your loins aren't girded?
And then you're ashamed. You're not talking about truth anyway.
There's no something about the truth is not.
Well, it's just another Gentile. Gentile. All right. Luke, I'm now going to well, let's go. Luke 12. We're still in 35. Let your loins be girded about with truth and your lights burning. That's both of them are in present tense in Greek. Your lights burning. What does that mean? There's never a place in time when you're not, you're always instant, in season and out of season. There's never a time when that mystery of God isn't burning within you. You don't stick it under a basket or hide it like I tried to do for so many years. You're always instant, in season and out of season. It just means whether you feel like it or not. Let's, a lot of times, it's the word lupnos, which is a candle, but it's translated sometimes candle, but it's never, shouldn't be. It's never a candle. It's always the metaphor, it's always the actual lamp that most of the time is on a candlestick, but it could be carried, and it always has the oil burning. That's the oil is what makes the causes the light, the burning of the oil. And that's a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. So it's never you. You're always out of the way. In a minute, we're going to study what it means that in every case, whether it was Paul or Peter or James or Titus or any of them, they always put the fact that they were a slave before the apostle or a slave before anything else. Because a slave is a bond slave, a doulos. It means that you've lost your own interest. Your only interest is in the the other. There's no, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's look at a couple of them in Revelation about light. Let's go to Revelation. Let's first go to Luke 15. That's the parable of a lost coin. In verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light, and again, it says candle, but it's not a candle, it's one of these lamps, luknos, and sweep the house, and search diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Remember the Feast of Tabernacles. The temple in Jerusalem was unique among all those kinds of buildings, because normally a building at that time, it was to make sure there was as much light as possible coming into the building by the construction, but the temple was opposite. The temple was caused the light to shine out. And so that's always what's taking place. The light is shining out, and it's that's what we are, the temple. But we should be broken vessels so the light shines out. It's never for your own purpose. Okay. Let's go to Revelation now.
That's cool. The repentance is part of the process of the burning light.
Amen.
You find that whatever she, I guess she's looking for the kingdom, or, you know, it's like you find that thing, and it's only through repentance.
Only through repentance. Bring forth fruit necessary to repentance at all times. You know, repentance isn't, I'm sorry. That's not what we're talking about. Repentance is losing you. Divorcing yourself totally 100% from you. Amen?
Amen. From what you think is your good fruit really isn't good fruit at all.
Well, of course it's not. There's nothing. If you go to try to do something good, it's the evil one is there anyway. So there is no. You can't produce fruit except something that nobody wants. What? Got it? You don't seem very happy about that. Luke, Revelation 18. Revelation 18 is about destruction of Babylon. And it first must be destroyed in his people. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. Babylon is cause and effect. That's why the whole world is wandering after the whore, because that's what she does, is she encourages cause and effect. If you know how to do something, then you can get by without faith. So you think you're trying to learn all these great things to know how to do. And everything you learn destroys faith. Amen? unless you're old and everything you learned you forgot anyway. So, all right, Revelation 18, verse. Let's start in verse. Yeah, let's start. This is good. Let's start about in verse. Revelation 18. It's talking about this final destruction. And we're going to talk about the lamp here. Let's start at 15. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, by the whore, shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and with purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, for that great city wherein we were made rich, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, and like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. In this next verse, it's the saddest condition you can conceive of. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle, or actually it's the lamp, shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations, all people deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The light of the lamp shall be found no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom shall be found no more at all in thee. Amen? All right. Revelation 22, or 21, I'm sorry. This is talking about the New Jerusalem. Well, let's just start in verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now the light there is this leucos, which is the burning. They didn't have any candles back then, is the point. And I saw, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth who bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then Revelation 22, let's just continue reading. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there were trees there, the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and then they need no, not candle, lamp, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. All right, that's enough about candles.
It's like the Lord is the Lamb, is always the light.
He's always the light.
Talking about. It's not our own generated understanding or something.
Amen. Let's talk about this burning, this consuming. Ezekiel looked at the world, he looked at Egypt, which is the type of the world, and said, the world is on fire. Egypt is on fire. And can you look around and see that everything in the world is on fire? Everything is denigrating with time. It's all burning. It's just burning slowed down. So it's called aging or rusting. It's just burning. It's oxidation. Burning is oxidation. So let's look at some of these burning, because your light should be burning at all times. Not for your purpose.
About the burning, I don't see, I don't look around and see it like it says it here, but I sure am aware of aging. See that a lot.
All right.
Part of my business, actually.
What's Luke 24? You heard. That's not. Forget Luke 24, because I misspoke. Go to John 15.
Something in Revelations, where we're talking about the tree and its fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no more curse. We talked about that yesterday. The tree is the cross, and with that fact, there's no more curse. You came through the tree.
All right, Luke. This is the biggie. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of or from itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, this analogy that he is the vine and we are the branches and we can do nothing except we abide in the vine and abide in the vine with a clear channel so that you have the mind of Christ. What Christ did when he was baptized, he died and was buried as Son of Man, and as Son of God, his mind was totally and completely empty to the point of a vacuum. He made himself of no reputation. That means empty to the point of a vacuum. So that the channel was always clear between he and the Father. He did nothing except what he saw the Father. Now, the same has to be true in us to continue the vine and the branch. We must abide in him empty. In that emptiness, then there's a clear channel. Otherwise, we're not abiding in the branch. I mean, in the vine. We are the branch doing branch stuff, which is essentially to be burned. Amen?
Yeah, you fall off. I mean, if you're not connected,
boom.
You're not part of the...
You can have it. Yeah, that's why it says it doesn't matter what you say you are. It matters what you live.
What's interesting is like when Paul talked about us being engrafted, that's even more so. It's like you lose all of your old idea of who you used to be connected to or got your life from or anything, and you're now in a new situation. And the only way to be there is to
abide. And abiding has, by definition, its context is emptiness. The vine can't do anything.
I figured out that one thing where it says, I can do nothing but what I see the Father do. I'm not sure that's how it's said.
That's pretty close. That's in John 5. We'll go there in a minute if you want to.
Oh, we just did it, though. But regardless, I used to think of that as like the TV screen or something. I see the Father doing it, and I go, oh, okay, that's what I'll do. It's God is in you doing stuff, and you're watching him do things, and you don't do anything but what you see him do, because he's working alive through you.
Right, that's why you have to be empty, because if your mind isn't the mind of Christ, then his humility is so great, he just lets you do your thing until you... You know, again, your worst fears come upon you. It has to come from the point of emptiness. Unfortunately, this isn't what's taught. Oh, I've been born again, so now my thoughts are sanctified. That's the biggest crock of BS I've ever heard. That's how these guys think. Every 5 seconds, God is telling them, and God just told me that you were supposed to send me money, or blah, blah, blah. No, he didn't. It's their mind telling them. And they put God's name on their thoughts. That's like putting God's name on the curse. Amen? All right. A couple more. Let's go to... let's go to Hebrews 12. We're going out of order from the next. Starting Well, let's just start in verse 1. It talks about, if all of you remember, chapter 11 of Hebrews is all about the heroes of faith and wandering around in goat skins and living in caves. And then, and it's the world wasn't worthy, and they were killed. And now, therefore, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Look, R isn't in there. You see it's in italics? He's the author and finisher of faith. We don't have any faith. Who for the joy, and it's remember, this is where we talked about, where he's on the Mount of Transfiguration and he could have stayed there, who instead of the joy that was set before him, that's that word for is hooper, which can be translated instead of. The joy that's what before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind, or quit in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, or striving against self. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God's dealing with you as with legitimate sons, is what it says. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not legitimate sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, as we gave them, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, or humbled thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, and let that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat has sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and the throne, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Now we said all that to say that we aren't come unto that, like Mount Sinai, which was on fire, and they couldn't come near it. But we are come unto the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And that's where your permanent residence is. Don't just visit it every once in a while. Amen? For all who dwell on the earth are deceived. Take a big deal. Anybody have any...